Welcome everyone to our special OA conference call entitled Body Image Recovery. My name's Nadine. I'm a compulsive overeater living in recovery one day at a time and your leader for this meeting. I am thrilled that you're on the line with me. Before we begin, I'd like to remind you that this call is being recorded and will be available at oaregion1.org. Let us start with the Serenity Prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. This evening, we will have a speaker share her experience, strength, and hope around the area of body image and body image recovery. So I would like to introduce to you tonight our speaker. Her name is Colleen T. And Colleen, we're just so looking forward to what you have to say.
Hi, I'm Colleen. I'm a compulsive overeater. Thank you very much, Nadine, for asking me to be of service. Always an honor. To begin, I'll just qualify. As I said, my name is Colleen. I'm a compulsive overeater. And my abstinence date is August 4th, 2002. So me willing, this August I will have 17 years, which is absolutely amazing. And my top weight that I know was 311 pounds, and so I've been maintaining about 160 to 170 pound weight loss for approximately like 15 years, which again is absolutely amazing and not at all what I thought I was looking for. And my story, you know, it's interesting to me when I reflect back on how when I first came into OA, of course, we say that, like, the only requirement is a desire to stop eating compulsively. And if I had really listened hard to that, I probably would have left. A, because I didn't see that there was a problem with my eating. The problem was my body, as far as I was concerned. What brought me into the rooms primarily was that I had gotten to a place in my life where I was really uncomfortable in my body and I couldn't pretend otherwise any longer. You know, most of my life had been spent as an overweight person. I had started putting on weight around the time that I was 8 or 9. And, you know, all through high school and college, I was in my late 20s when I finally came into program. I just went up and up and up. And I was not a dieter. I was not very successful at that at all. My version of an attempt at a diet was after binging at night, as I was lying in bed, I literally would touch every part of my body and be like, God, please make me skinny when I wake up. And that was, you know, I had all these grand plans of how I was going to do stuff with my food, and by the time my feet hit the ground in the morning, it was over. So, but again, so much of it was centered around my body. But this was not something I was really aware of. And, you know, I wasn't an idiot. Obviously, the way I was eating was contributing to the fact that all of a sudden I'd have a third stomach or a third chin or, you know, that I couldn't fit in the booth in the restaurant anymore. Of course, the complete irony is that I had been a dancer primarily from the time I was about 12, but I was always a heavy dancer. And while that was a problem in the dance world, I sort of reveled in being kind of the rebel who was still good. But I never really knew how good I was because I didn't know if I was good because people didn't expect me to be or actually had some real talent. And, of course, I couldn't go anywhere with it because in that world, you know, I was competing with girls who had tea for lunch, and that was not what I was eating for lunch. And so, like I said, when I came in, I was just so uncomfortable in my body, and I was so beaten down. I was so desperate. I just was like, okay, whatever you people have, you have some kind of light in your eyes, you have some kind of peace that I don't have. And it was the first place that I think I felt safe. And that's really important because so much of my eating and keeping layers of protection around my body was because it kept me safe, at least I thought it did. So, you know, that coupled with the fact that my body was to blame. It was always about like, well, it was never like, oh, if I'd stop eating like this, I wouldn't be fat anymore. It was like that I was fat. That was my problem. I didn't have a boyfriend because I was fat. I didn't, you know, have the whatever flashy thing it was or attract people's attention because I was fat or any of that stuff. And of course, the strange thing was all the while I just wanted to be invisible. I wanted you not to notice me, really, but I wanted you to. And so the other thing was is that it kept me from, you know, people could touch me and stuff, and I never really felt that I had all these layers on me. I was also very, like, my dancing and stuff was definitely an avenue for me feeling sexual and stuff, although I wouldn't have described it that way growing up. But I could do that without any fear that, like, you were going to want something more from me. That only came later, that when I reached a healthy body weight and I was dancing, I would freeze. And I thought, what's happening? Like, I felt like I was a much better dancer when I was heavier because I didn't care. So clearly, you know, having those extra layers of what I thought was protecting me were serving a purpose. And so my best thinking was, well, clearly, you know, this takes me out. Sugar is my mainline drug. And then you just add everything else after that. It doesn't really matter. And, you know, when you get up and up in weight, you need more and more food. But in my mind, I didn't realize I was as fat as I was. You know, I often described myself growing up as like a reverse anorexic because I would look in the mirror and be like, well, it's all right, you know, because in my mind, I was thinner than I actually was. And it wasn't until, like, I'd be walking around in high school and one of those doors that was basically like a glass door reflected like a window. And while I thought I left the house looking good or cute, I thought, oh, my God, I'm like this fat slob, you know. And so much of it, what came from this idea of, like, my body is the problem, my body is the enemy. And, you know, the whole thing about coming to an understanding around body image, I wasn't even conscious that it was really there, because it wasn't until somebody who, after I had reached a healthy body weight, reached out to me and said, hey, you know, somebody was asking if anybody has any body image issues, and I don't know if that's something you relate to, but I would imagine, like, after having lost, you know, so much weight, you know, that there might be some. And I actually had to stop and think about it and go, huh, okay. And it's really through that that it began this exploration. And, you know, I myself and another longtime member do a body image workshop where we take the issue of body image and work all 12 steps on it. And it's been phenomenal, but I am under no illusion that I do this because I've got it figured out. It's because I need this just as much as the participants do. I really had to change my thinking around how I see my body, and it's a continual process. I was very unsafe as a child, and it was my only form of creating some level of protection. And, you know, the way that I've come to understand my relationship with my body has to shift tremendously. You know, one of the things that I do as a part of my recovery is I get on the scale once a week, and I do that so that I stay in the reality, because on any given day I can be like, oh my God, I feel fat or look fat or whatever. Like, my perception of what my body actually is or how it's shaped is a little off kilter, and maybe someday that I'll be restored, but in the meantime it's good for me to have like a rational check-in. And I still have to, in my prayers to my higher power, before I get on the scale, say, please take my focus off the number, because I think that's the measurement. Just an indication. It's not a condemnation. You know, of course, the number is never what I want it to be. I either really like it or I don't like it at all, or I worry about, like, well, what's it going to be next week? But I don't spend my whole week obsessing over it. You know, that's the recovery for me. It's like, what I can do is say, listen, God, which is one of the names for my higher power, like, I get that my inclination is going to want to make that number the most important thing. Help me then turn my attention and gratitude for the fact that after all that I've done to this body, like, it functions and it moves and it's actually quite beautiful. And I have a freedom that I never had before. And I'm constantly learning in a lot of ways of, like, what it has to teach me. Like, you know, our bodies house so much of our emotions, and I've come to understand that as I moved into recovery in other areas of my life, that, like, it literally like can unlock mysteries for me about like what I'm holding on to or what I'm feeling unclear about. You know, I can sense like, oh, there's a pain in my jaw, so maybe that's indicating to me that I'm angry about something. Or, you know, noticing after years that, like, I hold my breath a lot. Like, why do I do that? You know, like, you need breath to live, you know, and learning to pay attention to that. And that came from, you know, practicing the 11th step and, like, doing prayer and meditation, being like, okay, like, you know, a lot of places or, you know, schools would be like, focus on your breathing and, you know, and I was like, oh, that's uncomfortable, you know, just sit still and breathe. And that's another thing, too, that in that daily prayer and meditation, which I still do to this day, it's just that time of just sitting and being. And, you know, can I be with myself the way that my higher power meets to be with me in those moments? And those times when I'm feeling really scattered and disconnected from my body and, you know, I try and check in and be like, where did I just go? I mean, I used to carry my body around like it was a spare tire, you know, and I wouldn't pay attention. Like, I'd wait to go to the bathroom to the absolute last minute that I could and, you know, things like that. And some, you know, those are very universal experiences, especially amongst women, I've found. So I'm certainly not alone. But it's really just as I use the steps in working around with my food. And I want to be clear that, like, if I was still dancing around, messing with food, this would not be a place that I could deal with. Because if I'm trying to check out, like, I can't be present for what I'm actually experiencing. So that is something that I had to get really clear on in the beginning. Like, what are my alcoholic foods? What are my boundaries around my eating that I, you know, eat only a certain number of times a day? And that, you know, I know that when I eat this substance, like, I can't just have a little bit. I've got to keep having more. And so if I'm doing that, then actually being present with myself is not something I'm doing. So, you know, in this process of recovery, you know, I have times when I've learned to, I've felt really at home and at peace in my body. And it's funny because the things that I wanted to worry about early on in recovery was like, well, you know, if you lose that much weight, like, you're going to have all this extra skin. I do have extra skin. I honestly really don't care that much about it. I mean, I don't go parading around in a bikini all the time, but, you know, like, I've got extra layers of skin hanging from my arm and, you know, okay, like, all right. I mean, it doesn't, you know, it doesn't, like, freak me out. And something that I learned early on from my sponsor who really, you know, saved my butt, basically, she was like, if you're okay with it, they're okay with it. You know, nobody, that's sort of the irony I learned in these rooms, like, nobody's really thinking about me. That would be me, you know, and how do I know it? Because I'm thinking about me, I'm not thinking about them. I mean, that's like, you know, an easy barometer. So all the thoughts and all the concerns that I often have around my body are just another way for me to be centered on me. So that's when I use my tools. Like, I start writing, or I reach out to people and see how they're doing, or I spend a little bit more time in meditation, or, you know, I read something from the big book and, okay, how can I be of service? And, you know, that's the sort of other miraculous thing about that is that as I've done that, people have said to me, you know, it's really helpful to hear what you walked through in your relationship with your body because that gives me hope, you know. And I'm like, that's great. Like, that's so not, I was just trying not to feel like crap, you know. Like, so much of this program is just saving my own butt, you know, and the rest of my body and my mind and my heart. You know, when I first came in, I was so shut down I couldn't even cry. The only time I cried was when I had to have discussions with my sponsor about letting go of more food, and then tears came so fast you wouldn't know what happened. But I had basically like this ironclad chain over my heart, and then it was frozen on top of it. And it seems strange to me that in order to be able to live and breathe and move in the world meant there would be more weight that came off of my body. And seeing what was really under there. And I'll never forget the day I was out shopping, which has always not been my favorite thing to do. It's funny, when I was heavy, it was like whatever, because it was just kind of whatever fit. And then when I lost my weight, now I could wear anything I want. So then I'm completely overwhelmed, you know. And I've gotten better about it over the years. I've learned to understand like what looks good on me, what feels good. But I was out, I needed to get some new bras. And so I was in the dressing room, you know, and I was trying on these different bras. And I stopped for a minute and I looked at myself and I looked at, you know, my shoulders and the line of my neck. And I realized that my whole life I'd been a dancer. I never felt like one. And I was looking at myself in the mirror and going, you look like the dancer that's always been inside of you. And I just, it like brought me to tears, you know, like I so wanted to be that. And it was there the whole time, you know, and certainly in my spirit, but I couldn't see it, you know. And so, you know, those are just some of the experiences and learning how to create good boundaries for me, you know, what's comfortable for me, and learning that I don't have to use my body as my voice anymore. That, you know, in working the steps, I've learned to speak up for myself and say thank you, or how to extend my hand when somebody wants to come in for a hug that I don't feel comfortable hugging, and learning to be okay with that, that it wasn't my job to make them feel okay with my body, that it really is my own. And, you know, these are all things that I've had to learn and over the years, and it always comes back to, you know, me connecting with my higher power and saying, who would you have me be? What would you have me do? You know, and as I've expanded my spiritual life and my heart is opened, my body becomes the vehicle through which I get to travel through the world and be of service. But I also get to delight in it, and I don't have to be afraid of it. And I don't have to make it the demon that I always made it. You know, so much of what my experience was at a very young age was there was no other explanation for what was happening, and my body was doing these things I didn't understand, and so I clearly it just must be my body. And I just point blank went, this is the problem. And it's really been a constant reversing of that and shifting that perspective. And I need God for that. And I need fellows for that. And I need literature. And I need, you know, outside help and all those kind of things so that I can not go around blaming my body. Because no wonder I fed it terrible things and was trying to hurt it all the time with the way that I ate, and I, you know, kind of lashed about and didn't really care or take good care of it. You know, I just kind of made do. And, you know, I'll oftentimes, if I find my head like in a funk about my body, I'll stop and I'll say, all right, God, how do you see my body? And I remember this one day I was, you know, one of the things that I do is I go to the gym most mornings, or I take a yoga class, because I found that moving my body is very helpful for my mind, actually more so even than just my body. But that, you know, I was like, all right, God, clearly I'm telling myself a bunch of like horror stories about my body right now, but tell me how you see my body. And the first word that popped in my mind was functional. And I literally started laughing. I was like, functional? Really? Like, I was expecting, like, you know, super sexy, like, fascinating, like, slick and smooth, like, hot to try, you know, something, like, really dynamic and functional. But then I thought about it for a minute, and I was like, actually, that's pretty phenomenal. Like, there's so much that goes on in my body that I am not the least bit aware of, that I take for granted all the time. You know, that my heart is pumping and I can hear through my ears and I can breathe through my nose and I can see through my eyes and I can touch things and feel things. And I notice that, like, when I make a genuine connection with somebody, I can feel a shift in my heart. And I can also feel it when I feel when I sense myself closing off from somebody that I don't feel comfortable around, or who's got negative you know, what I would refer to as negative vibes, or they're in a bad mood and I feel like I need to protect myself. I can feel my heart kind of shut down, you know, and that's fascinating to me. It's like this marvelous experience. And then at the same time, I'm not just my body. Like, you know, I have this spirit within me. I have a mind, and they work together, and it's all part of this incredible experience. And the longer I'm in recovery, the more it seems to be about making room for these feelings, which are these indications, which often inhabit places in my body that I've been ignoring or haven't been paying attention to. And, you know, I don't know, maybe that sounds kind of woo-woo, but it's just my experience. And so for me, you know, being able to work the 12 steps through this same issue, because the way that I look at it is that, you know, we say that we admitted we are compulsive overeaters and our lives become unmanageable. But so the way that I was operating around my body was unmanageable. You know, it was only a matter of time before I completely destroyed myself. And keep in mind, when I first came in at over 300 pounds, I didn't have any of the screaming markers at me, like I was diabetic or, you know, my triglycerides were high. I mean, it's absolutely a miracle that that wasn't happening, but there was nothing screaming at me like, you need to do something now. So I don't know how long I could have gone on before my body began to really break down. And it doesn't mean that my body doesn't break down sometimes, you know, like I get sick and I've had various different health experiences throughout my time, and I've had to learn to be patient and take time and take space and allow for healing, because I'm really good at being a human doing, but I forget sometimes I'm actually a human being, and sometimes I need to slow down and I need to listen to that when I sense that, and I need to take care of myself. Like, I need to make sure I get some good sleep, and I need to make sure that, you know, I don't push myself further, because that was something I used to do as well. Then it's actually good for me to do. So these are all part of this whole area, and it became about, you know, again, how can my body be what God wants it to be, just like, you know, the rest of my life, and constant turning over and surrendering. And, you know, if I believe that there's a power greater than me, if I've come to believe that, what does that look like? You know, turning my will in my life. So what does that look like in the realm of my body? It means trusting that I will be okay, trusting that I will have what I need, I'll be able to do what I need to do in order to do God's work. You know, it talks about in the big book that at the end of the day, I think this is somewhere in 86 to 88, that, like, there's two questions, you know, did I do his work well, and did I stick close to him, and him or her, whatever you want to call it, like, that comes for me with my body as well. Like, did I do my part, and did I stick close to God and God's vision of what the purpose of my body is here? Because we live in a world, in the Western world at least, that totally goes from one extreme to the other. Either like some complete aesthetic that like has nothing to do with the body, or the body is everything. And the younger it is, the faster it is, the sicker it is, the thinner it is, the better it is, you know. And it's like, but yet all around us are people all these different shapes and sizes, you know. I know for me that maintaining a healthy body weight is very much a part of what it means to be in recovery, because I know that I would be lying to myself even if I was quote-unquote abstinent and I was over 300 pounds, because that just doesn't connect for me. But I'm not here to say that everyone who is overweight is clearly disconnected from themselves. I don't live other people's lives. I just know that that's what's true for me, you know. And, you know, I've had times where I felt kind of vulnerable and unsafe. And I remember, you know, sponsors were talking to me, like, imagine there's a cloak over you, or that God walks before you. And I've imagined different versions of higher power, like being these big, tall, strong, like bodyguards, like walking beside me, being like, hey, don't even look at her that way, you know. And the irony of the times when, like, you think you look like crap, and then, like, some guy's, like, checking you out, and you're like, I really? Like, because, you know, when I looked fabulous, like, you were nowhere to be found, you know. oh, and then let's just add in the fact that, like, I really don't want you looking at me like that, like, because I can't pick and choose, you know, but learning to be okay with that. And for me, a big part came in understanding I was not responsible for that other person's reaction. I remember having to learn that as I was losing weight. I was working at the time as a teacher, and people would constantly, because, you know, when you lose so much weight, I guess people can't help themselves, who knows. And I just learned, like everything else, that what other people thought of my body was none of my business, you know. And it's amazing how much it makes people uncomfortable. But I didn't have to take that on. You know, what other people are thinking, feeling is not my responsibility. So, you know, then my inventory that I did around my body was really just kind of looking at all the ways that I had harmed it over the years, through the way that I'd eaten, through the things that I said to it. And that was a big part. Like, I really had to shift my thinking of, like, when I'd look in the mirror and be like, ugh, I had to just stop that, you know. And one of the things that I came across fairly early on in program was there was a gentleman in the program who was a 100-pounder, and he shared this basically, like, affirmation that his sponsor had given him, and I don't have it anymore, but for years I said it every day. And he talked about how he'd look at himself buck naked in the mirror, like from head to toe, and say this thing, and I was like, I'm not doing that. But I could look at myself in the mirror in the bathroom, like in the medicine cabinet mirror, look myself in the face, you know. And it was something like along the lines of, like, you know, I'm exactly where I need to be today. I'm exactly the weight I'm supposed to be today. And God is here with me, or something along those lines. And basically, the idea was that as I was losing weight, then for that day, I was exactly what I was supposed to be. It didn't mean like I sat back and did nothing. You know, it was my job to continue to pull back on the food and go through all the feelings and the freak outs and the using the steps to do that without going mad, and trust that, you know, my body would change as it was supposed to, at the rate it was supposed to. And then I remember when I reached a healthy body weight, I literally, like, would have moments where I'd see myself in the mirror and I didn't recognize myself. I mean, it took me probably about 2 years or so for all of the weight to come off. And it was fairly steady, not an alarming rate, but a healthy rate. But still, I mean, that's a lot of weight. And I remember I would look in the mirror and I'd say, God, help me see me as you see me, because I realized, like, I don't even recognize myself. And it even after a few years of being at a healthy body weight, I still, in my mind, you know, it was funny, I actually would think of myself as the heavier person. And it took a few years before I was like, no, this is who I am, or this is what I look like. And so those are some of the things that I did. And then my, you know, in terms of my defenses of character and whatnot around body image, those became around, like, you know, my self-criticizing and my judgment. And, you know, when I'm in my head about how crappy my body is, then I turn and look at you. Well, clearly there's not going to be a lot of love there, because I've just been filling my head with a bunch of negative thinking. And it's a way, in some way, of keeping myself safe, because it keeps me separate from you. And so just looking at when those defenses of character pop up and when they pop up and noticing the patterns. And then as far as amends to my body, you know, that wasn't like things I had to do to other people, but really just my amends became a living amends. I started working with a lot of affirmations on a daily basis. I would write out a bunch of affirmations about my body, whether I believe them or not. It just became about rewiring my thinking, just like I got from, you know, the meetings that we read the steps and the traditions every single time. And I kept thinking,
you've got
that
just
we know
a few minutes,
already.
Colleen.
Thank you. And so it was about, like, okay, like, clearly it's about retraining my thinking. And so I used affirmations for things like that. And then, you know, again, the 10th step, just, again, like, what is my daily commitment to that I, how I take care of my body and how I view and treat my body. And my 11th step was continually asking God, which I still do, like, how do you see me? And, you know, how can I use this vessel that you've given me to serve for the greater good, and then carrying that out and being able to share that with other people, you know, became like how I do my 12 step around that. So, you know, that's just some idea of, like, for me with the issue of body image, what I've come to. And it's a continual, you know, this right now I'm dealing with some stuff. I find that as I deal with some deeper emotional issues, like I'll experience some things in my body that I don't like or I'm uncomfortable with, and just to be able to be with that and not have to fix it, you know, and just be like, okay, this will work itself through. And, you know, again, just kind of coming through a balance, like, God, how do you want me to see this? So it is a continual process. And then as I get older and I find myself going, ugh, you look old. And I'm like, hey, stop. According to who, Colleen? Like, questioning my own thinking. Like, you know, and I will constantly say to myself as I look in the mirror, like, hey, you look great, or you're hot stuff, or whatever it is. And do I always feel it? Or is no. But it's just like, again, about doing that contrary action around it. Because why not, you know? Like, I don't know how long I have to be here, so why not enjoy this, and why not appreciate it for what it is and know that it's not all of who I am, but it is a part of who I am. And, you know, if my body and how I live with myself and treat myself can in some way contribute in a positive way, to the lives of others, then great. That's much more than I could have asked for, because really all I wanted was not to hate the space that I took up in the world, to feel afraid of it and to be constantly punishing it. And, you know, there's a freedom that I experience now that I take for granted. Sometimes I forget, you know, that the ways that I don't have to waddle around in the world, you know, and the ease with which I move and squeeze through things, and just, you know, I'm able to be in the world. So with that, I will conclude and say thank you very much, and I hope that something I've said has been helpful. Thank you.
Colleen, thank you so much for that insightful share. I just think of all the negative things that I can say to my body, and how that is just punishing myself. It's just it's not a freedom. The freedom comes from loving this body that my higher power has given me. And your process of working through that has just been so helpful to hear. Thank you so much. I am now going to open it up for any questions or thoughts. Just press *6 to unmute yourself and say your name, and I'll look forward to hearing your questions or thoughts, and then Colleen, you can answer them as you're able.
Colleen, thank you so much for your share tonight. Are you familiar with the term body dysmorphic disorder, and if so, could you comment on that in relationship to 12 steps?
Hi, yes, thank you. I've heard the term before. I've heard people in meetings use it. I can't speak to it as a specific diagnosis or anything. I'm not a professional, but I'm aware that I have a very disproportionate, or I would say unrealistic perspective on what my body actually looks like a lot of the time. So that's, you know, why I use the steps around it for me. I've never been diagnosed with that specifically, and I don't know to what degree people experience that, but yeah, I mean, that I would use that to describe part of what the experience is like, just really having an unclear idea, you know, about what my realistic view of what my body looks like. But I think people that lean towards that, it's probably a bit more extreme. I don't know. I never asked. So I don't know if that's helpful, but.
Hi, Colleen. This is Sue. I'm from Greater Columbia Inner Group in Region 1, and I wanted to thank you for your wonderful talk on body image. It was I loved your honesty, and it was so revealing and real. One of the things that really resonated with me was the way you used the steps to kind of go through and heal body image issues, and I think that's a wonderful wonderful way to do that. I mean, I've used it for my defects. I've used it for my anger and my resentments. But I hadn't really thought about actually on a daily basis almost using the steps to help me heal with some of my negative body image issues. So I really appreciate that. And I'm really glad that you came to speak and we had this topic. Thank you.
Hi, this is Margaret Colleen, and I really, really appreciated your talk. I'm from Southern Oregon in the Jefferson State Intergroup. And the things that really touched me were when you talked about being unable to cry. I think it's been like 20 years or something like that since I've cried. So it was good for me to hear that there's someone else like me. And I loved your talking about how to take the weight or taking the weight off your body to see what's under there. I've been thinking the same thing. I kind of envision myself like an onion, and I want to take off the next layer and see what's underneath. And then the other thing that stayed with me was when you talked about not taking care of your body. And that's something I'm trying to do by getting enough sleep and so on. So this, there are many, many places that resounded for me, and I really appreciate your being so frank and setting aside the time to speak with us tonight. Thank you.
Hi, Colleen. It's Nadine again. You know, when you said about when before you get on the scale and you do it weekly, I think that's what you said. But you always pray before for God to take the focus off the number. Could you go over that again, what you say?
Sure. Yeah, it's not verbatim, but what I do in my prayer, part of my prayer and meditation is I write a letter to God every morning. So towards the end of my letter, before I'm going to get on the scale, I will say, you know, turn my focus away from the number and turn it towards ingratitude for the gift of this vessel that I've been given to carry my spirit through the world, or the gratitude for a body that's functioning, whatever it is. It's not the exact same thing. But again, the idea of, you know, turning it away from just the number being the most important thing about why I get on the scale, and really just reminding myself, like, it's more than just that. Does that help?
Yes. Thank you. Thank you. Mm-hmm. I was writing it when you first said it, and I just couldn't write fast enough. Thank you. Very helpful.
Hi, Colleen. This is Jan from Oregon Intergroup. Just wanted to thank you so much for your presentation. It's been really helpful to me. Thank you.
Hi, Colleen. This is Marcia Kay from Lake Country Intergroup, and I really appreciated your talk tonight, and I love the comment I love the answer you got back in your heart from God when you were asking God how he saw you, how he saw your body, and the one word of functional. I don't think I've ever thought about how much my thinking about my body focuses on how it looks, how other people look at it. And my awareness of it has focused on appearance rather than on the gift of functionality and wholeness and health and well-being. And that was just a really good thought for me to take away and work on for a while and spend some time with. And then, of course, also, I'm not just body. I'm body, spirit, mind. I'd like that thought, too. It all works together. So thank you so much for your presentation this evening.
Hi, this is Melissa in Oak Harbor, Washington, and I'm grateful to be on this talk tonight. I just learned about it at our OA meeting this evening, and I'm restarting my OA recovery, and I've been in and out of the program for about 15 years. And I just quick comment and then a question. I remember I've been overweight most of my life, and I remember my mother really emphasizing, you can't wear those pants. Your thighs look too fat. Your butt looks too fat. You have to wear a skirt. And, you know, a lot of focus on body image. And then I've had a lot of loss and rejection in relationship, and I was a normal weight and gained 75 pounds after I had worked the 10 steps, the first 10 steps in OA, and I found that it had a lot for me to do with relationship rejections and also physical pain that I've avoided. Like now that I'm in the process of returning to abstinence, I'm having a lot more physical pain. I'm on edge a lot. And I'm wondering, did you work the steps and do a food plan at the same time, or how did you do it? And like for me, I'm trying to identify what foods to eliminate, what foods to weigh and measure, and working. I'm just finished step one, and so I'm feeling like I don't want to prolong the agony of detox. Like I want to get through it quick, but like there are certain foods I can eat. Like I basically have only good foods in my house now, and I weigh and measure them, but still overeat them because I don't eat the binge foods. But it's like, I'm still not in recovery, and I know that comes through the steps. So anything you want to reply in relation to this sort of mismatch? Thank you.
Sure. Okay, thank you for your question. Yeah, so I had to do both at the same time because I thought I was going to die without the food. So that's what the steps were for. I had to get really clear on what I was eating and what my alcoholic foods were. And I knew what they were because they were the things that I couldn't imagine just having one of, or if I'd have one, I'd want the whole thing. Or if I didn't have the whole thing, I'd be thinking about having the whole thing. So it was really clear to me. And the other thing was is they, ironically, were the same kind of things that would keep me from reaching a healthy body weight. And so when I started working with the sponsor that I get, like I mentioned, she's the third sponsor I had who basically kicked my butt and saved my life. You know, she would talk about like what in between meals when you eat, she's like, well, that's what you need the steps for. You know, that's when you read, that's when you write, that's when you call, that's when you do that stuff. And so it was really crucial that we do both of those together. I mean, I'd had an experience before program of going without a lot of those foods for a period of time because I had, like, vertigo or something. And I'll never forget the chiropractor who was working with me. I was in his office, like, a week later in absolute tears. He was freaked out. He's like, okay, start eating those again. Like, what I was doing basically was removing the foods without replacing them with anything. And the steps for me are the gateway to my higher power. So those have to work together. And, you know, yeah, that period of detox is uncomfortable. It never lasts as long as I think it's going to. But I can only deal with that if I have something else to turn to, and that would be the steps of my higher power.
Thank you.
Hi, Colleen. This is Lisa from Tacoma, Washington. My question is, when you are kind of dealing with struggles with weight and body image, I work in a bit of a high-profile job, and it's really easy for me to vacillate between either the extreme of, like, just kind of giving up and wearing whatever and not caring at all what people say, not in an attitude of service, but more in an attitude of despair and almost defiance, to going to, like, a bit of the opposite extreme and just becoming almost too vain and to trying too hard, if you will. So as you are moving towards constantly handing over how you feel about your flesh to your higher power, do you have any thoughts about prayers that we can say or things that we can do as we dress ourselves, as we choose clothing, so that we're not hating our bodies, and that we're able to move and feel comfortable with the clothes that we put on?
Well, I don't know that I have specific prayers. I mean, with things like that, you know, my experience is, like, one of the things that I'll do when I go shopping is, like, I'll say a prayer before I walk in the store. Like, God, help me to find what you want me to find. I've just started paying attention to, like, how do I feel when I wear this? you know, from the material to what my perception is of myself when I see myself with it on in the mirror, and not thinking I should buy it just because it fits, or, you know, like somebody else might be like, that looks good, you know, and I'm like, but that doesn't feel good, like it doesn't resonate for me. You know, so that's kind of my experience with that. You know, in the professional world, I, in the last year, changed to like a supervisory position, and what I've started to do is just embark on, I mean, I've always dressed professionally, but watching other female executives and how they dress and what they're like and how they move and noticing what I like and what I don't like. So it's just been kind of a discovery phase. And what I found most of all is that when I go with something that, like, I either a clothing or something and I feel like, yeah, this feels good, or I feel good in this, like, it all works out really well. Like, people compliment me on it. Like, it's amazing. Like, even to, I mean, I'm not kidding you. Like, I remember, and this is not, like, for a work thing or whatever, I was at the store with my girlfriends, and there was this, like, jacket that I saw, and I was like, that is the coolest thing ever. And I literally put it on and thought, I feel happy. And I was like, I have to buy this. And of course, it was on sale, so that was even better. And I get more compliments on that thing than you can imagine. Like, people are like, oh my God, I love that. Or, you know, and they call it like a sweater. They call it different things. And so I've just sort of learned, like, okay, like, it really is about my peace of mind around it. And for me, that comes with guidance from my higher power and just experimenting. Like, just trying it out and being like, okay, so that didn't work. All right, well, we'll do that one again. Or, you know, and again, learning styles that I think look good on my body and finding other things, you know, like discovering how Spanx looks really well because it covers up the fact that I've got extra skin around my stomach, or, you know, just things like that. So hopefully that helps.
It does. Thank you.
Hi there. My name is Amy. I'm a compulsive overeater. And I really appreciate what you've been talking about. A lot of it resonated with me, especially parts about being complimented on your dancing and just feeling like there's a thin dancer inside of me, or I'm an exercise instructor as my job, and so I often feel like, how much more could I give if my body looked different or something like that? But my question is, you talked about how as you were losing weight and all the comments that everybody in the world and their sister feels it necessary to tell you or compliment you or remark on your weight. And I thought that as I would lose weight, I'm down about 60 pounds in my weight loss journey, that I would want that celebrity, that I would, you know, feel great having that. And I don't. I feel awful when people say something like, it's none of your business. And I feel sometimes that it sabotages me because I can't just block their comments. And I was hoping maybe you could share a little bit some of your strategies on how you changed your reaction to others and their comments about your weight loss.
So my experience with that is basically what I had to do. Sometimes I would have to do it incessantly in my head. Like, people would say things and I'd be like, thank you. And then I would just, like, over and over in my head, I'd be like, what they think of my body is none of my business. What they think of my body is none of my business. And I would just kind of run it through like a thing, you know, like saying the serenity prayer over and over and over. I mean, I had people say things to me like, I remember there was this one woman I worked with who people would come up and they would compliment me like, wow, you've lost so much weight. And she'd be like, yeah, and I'm putting it on. And I was like, okay, like that was clearly her stuff, not mine. And I found that like when people are in a really good mood, they compliment you. When they're in a bad mood, they don't. So it really has nothing to do with me. And I know this for myself. Like, when I'm feeling really good, like, I notice things about people that I like. When I'm feeling really crappy, I'm noticing things I'm irritated with people about. Like, so it really has nothing to do
with the other person's opinion of my body. And that was probably one thing I did. There are other times when I literally would imagine, like, my higher power, like, putting a big cloak over me, like, protecting me. And, yeah, like, I can't do anything about, you know, the creepy guy who, like, looks me up and down. I want to vomit or something. And I would just kind of own that and be like, wow, great. Yeah, I was really hoping only cute guys would look at me, but, you know, that apparently is not in the cards. So, you know, or, like, that would be even worse, right? Like, I feel, you know, uncomfortable when somebody who I did think was cute looked at me. So, again, it really just constantly brings me back to, like, me having to own my own body and getting clear for myself. Like, I learned to practice in the 10th step that if I'm disturbed by someone else, like, I'm the one who's disturbed. So I can either make an issue out of their comment, or I can choose to get that it's theirs and it's not mine. Just because it comes out of their mouth at me doesn't mean I need to swallow it. You know, I can kindly say thank you and then move on, you know. So that's kind of, those are some of the ways that I've handled it over the years. And if I need to do writing about it and talk to my sponsor about it, like, I use all my tools. So definitely, you know, there were times that it didn't just go away like that.
Thanks, Colleen. We're at the hour. I have loved having all of you on the line with me. Colleen, a million thanks for coming and sharing with us your experience, your strength, and your hope of recovery in this area around body image. I wish you all a good night, and I look forward to having you on the line this fall as our next subject is on shame and body shaming and just the shame we experience in our lives. So thank you all, and good night.